From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Carol Kane with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and as she does every Thursday at this time, it's our public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. How are you doing?
So good. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Woo!
If you have a question for the doctor, you can always text it in or give us a shout out, 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can comment there as well. Yesterday at this same time, Dr. Kristen, we had a segment that I like to call More Words from Men.
Okay.
And this is kind of an opportunity to focus on men checking in on things that they may not necessarily know all that much about.
Okay.
And so I brought up this instance with Charlie Kirk, who is a MAGA, and he's the founder of a MAGA organization called Turning Point USA. He also has a radio program that I think streams somewhere. But he had three of his friends on the other day, and they're all complaining and dumping on Taylor Swift. And Taylor Swift is ruining democracy. She got 4 million young girls to sign up to vote, and it was more like 35,000. And she's ugly, and she has no talent, and gosh, does she even have any eggs left? She's 34. She just turned 34 yesterday. So this led me to give a little ovulation 101 course, Dr. Lyerly, and I would like to make sure that I did it accurately. Okay.
I would first like to point out that the four of us who are on right now, none of us have functional eggs. So we are past our prime, but we are going to talk about eggs because
we have them.
So much to talk about. Yeah. We did at one point, well, except for, Calvin, but we love Calvin and he's here to, keep us on the straight and narrow.
Absolutely.
And to be really, really clear, we love men. I personally created four of them. So this isn't about men. This is about crazy people like social media parasite Charlie Kirk, who obviously is afraid of Taylor Swift, but loves to use her name in order to elevate his profile. So, whatever, Charlie Kirk. We're not even going to give you any oxygen right now because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about eggs and we are going to dispel some information or misinformation and we're going to make sure that people understand a few really critical things. Like, are you ready for point number one?
Let's do it.
We are born with all of our eggs. Women are born with all of our eggs.
We don't make any more as time goes on.
We don't make any more. And actually, we lose most of our eggs before we're even born. We have way more eggs while we are developing. And once, by the time that we are born, most of those eggs have already disappeared. So we're born with about a third of the eggs that we were created with.
What is there a specific, because I don't know. I mean, is there a specific number that we are born with or is everybody different?
Everybody's a little bit different, but it's thousands and thousands.
Tens
of thousands of eggs. We've got a lot of eggs.
Okay. And it was my understanding also, Dr. Lyerly, from what I found, that even by the time you hit puberty, you have fewer eggs than you were born with.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. We lose eggs throughout our lifetime. So it's not like, suddenly you hit menopause and your eggs are not there. And actually, the eggs are still there. They're just not functional and you're not ovulating. So our ovaries are loaded with these eggs that are in this space where they're not ready to be ovulated. They're just sitting there waiting for the right cues to happen.
Well, okay. And that's that. So when a young girl hits puberty, that's when these things start waking up, right? And going, oh, well, we have a new function we have to do now. And I'm going to look at this bunch of eggs and I'm going to pick five of them that I think are most viable. Isn't your body kind of making these judgments?
One. one egg with a normal menstrual cycle and the way that your complex symphony of hormones work, one egg per month is elevated to the point where it ovulates. Now, obviously, that is not for everybody. There are some people who ovulate two eggs, and there are some people who have a lot of eggs that are in that place where they're ready to ovulate. Polycystic ovarian syndrome is actually a pretty common condition. About 10% of women have it, where the eggs are just, if you look at an ovary with PCOS on ultrasound, it looks like there's just a string of pearls around the outside of the ovary because there are all of these eggs that are just ready to go. So you can certainly ovulate more than one egg at a time, but the standard is one egg a month gets promoted and ovulates.
Well, all I could think of was during the discussion that they were having, and it's like, does she even have any left? What do you think happens to these eggs? Do you think every time a woman has sex, she's losing eggs? Do we just lose them randomly when we're at the store? I had them in my other purse and I left them in the car. I mean, what do they think is happening to these?
Well, when you ovulate and that egg comes off the surface of the ovary, it doesn't go directly into your fallopian tube. Like the way they teach it to us in school, it's like the egg is there and then the tube is there and it just goes right into the tube, like the tube is a vacuum. That's not how it works. You ovulate off your ovary and that egg, it might go into the tube, but it might just fall deep inside your pelvis and just sit there and wait.
Huh.
And wait, what is it waiting for?
Well, if the fallopian tube, which is beautiful, the end of the fallopian tube is all fimbriated and it's like, it's graceful. It's like a ballroom dancer. And it just is like moving around. And if it like stumbles on that egg, it will suck that egg up into the tube. And that's when the process of fertilization can occur. Usually it happens actually in the tube. But if fertilization doesn't happen, if the fallopian tube doesn't pick it up, that egg just gets reabsorbed by your body.
Huh. Okay, my question for you is, because I had no problems talking to my kids about sex and their bodies and stuff like that, but apparently a lot of people do. So what would you say is an age appropriate, what's an appropriate age to sit down with your son, and you said you got four of them, sit down with your son and tell them and explain what goes on in a woman's body so you don't sound like a moron?
Always. You should always be talking about things that are happening with your body and using medically accurate terms and make it part of their vernacular. So like when they go to the bathroom, when your little men go to the bathroom and they are peeing all over the place, you talk about them like aiming their penis into the, you use the right words.
Yeah. Right, right.
And you can joke around too. I think that's all kind of part of it because, you know, there's a lot of discomfort associated with body functions and body parts. But at my house, we talk about everything at the dinner table because we've always talked about that kind of stuff. And that doesn't mean that my sons come to me to ask for like contraception advice or lots of like specific tricky medical questions. They've got sources and people that they can talk to get that accurate information. But they grew up knowing what the parts of their bodies were. And they'll come home from school sometimes and say, I just learned that your liver does this or your kidney does that or whatever, you know, whatever health question, because they grew up with it. And that's always been part of their education.
You know what? Maybe it's because my father was a pharmacist, you know, that, and I worked in the pharmacy and I've been there since I was a little girl. So my dad used to say all the time, listen, go and talk to your pharmacist if you don't feel comfortable talking to your parents. And, you know, I was just really blunt, too, with my kids. I'm just, you know.
Well, and your parents must have addressed things pretty straightforward as well.
My dad did. Yeah. My mom was a little bit more covered.
Squeamish.
Yeah, yeah, squeamish. That's a good way to put it.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for our public cervix announcement. If you have a question for the doctor, please text it in at 844-967-2789.
And Carol, I love that you brought it up. And I really love the idea of letting kids lead, letting them tell you what they need to know, and you acknowledging it and answering it in their questions in an age-appropriate way that they can understand. You don't want
right.
to give them too much information
because sure.
that's scary, but trying to answer their questions without shame and without judgment and just with the motivation of them being able to have to make really good decisions for themselves because you've armed them with really good, appropriate information.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood, you know, the whole cloak and dagger business.
About
you know what
sex.
I mean? Yeah, it's just let's just talk about it's a normal function of the human body. Let's just talk about it.
Well, and think about the amount of harm I think it could cause if your child comes to you with a specific question and your first response is, why do you want to know that?
Mm-hmm.
You can really damage.
Yeah.
But I come to you for information.
Right.
You know, without, mm-hmm. like you said, Dr. Lyerly, without judgment. I want to know this thing. Can you tell me this thing?
Sure.
So you have to be kind of careful how you handle that approach, right?
Oh, for sure. And there's so much misinformation out there and people have such different ideas that are just like not based in reality. I was at a roundtable in Madison over the weekend and it was fascinating. There were 7 pro-choice advocates and 7 pro-life advocates sitting around a table talking about abortion. And I mean, these are people who testify at the Capitol on bills. So like, these are people who are entrenched. And I was the only doctor there. And as we started, it was mediated, so it couldn't get too hot.
Sure.
And as we started talking about, you know, different things that informed our decision-making, it was fascinating to hear some of the things that people believed and that were really making them make these decisions in their lives that once we debunked some of it, they were like, why am I doing this? I'm harming myself because of this belief that I'm holding that's based in fiction.
Are you willing to share more of the details of that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, things like there were some really strongly Catholic folks there. And some of the ideas that they had, like they weren't familiar with some of the genetic things that can happen. You know, it seems very simple, like sperm and egg come together.
And it's all
good.
You've
got a fertilized embryo and it's all good. Like that's life. And it, ideologically, it is. And when you're thinking about your most personal healthcare decisions, you have to be able to make your own decisions about that. But when it comes to making policy for other people, it's a different ballgame.
We will continue this conversation. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. To As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and we are joined, as we are every Thursday at this time, by Dr. Kristen Lyerly for our public cervix announcement. Want to do a special shout out to our listeners in Madison listening on WMDX and in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio from WXCO. Good morning, and again, thank you for joining us. So, Dr. Lyerly, we were talking about ovulation 101, essentially, and trying to dispel some misconceptions about the workings of the female body. And right before we went to commercial, you were sharing a round table that you recently had. Tell us more about that.
You said misconceptions. That was funny. So one common thing that people didn't realize is that it is not unusual for fertilization to occur and that fertilized egg not to implant somewhere in the uterus. It just washes out with the normal menstrual cycle. So that really made people think about, well, geez, you know, if life begins at fertilization or conception in their terms, and then that just doesn't implant, then what is that? Like, what does that mean to me? A lot of it was very personal and very ideological, and also rooted in some of the messaging that we get. So, for example, Plan B, a lot of people call that the morning after pill. This is contraception that people, even doctors, get confused about and think causes abortion. Plan B to be very, very clear, is contraception. These are the pills that you take after you've had intercourse, and you are preventing a pregnancy from happening by suppressing ovulation. That is the number one way that it works. So when, as we were talking about things like this, or like the number of abortions that occur late in pregnancy, they had all of these statistics that were just flawed. They were just plain wrong. And they were challenging me on it. And I was like, so this is what the data actually shows. And it was so cool to be in a place where you could talk about things on an even ground.
Yes.
It really made us all think about, like, what are our own closely held beliefs and how do we approach these conversations, knowing that people in society, people we love, have different opinions. And if we aren't having these conversations, we're not learning from each other. So I guess the foundation of it is, whether we're talking about sex or politics or religion, it's okay to have different opinions.
Well, and as Todd Albo likes to say, you're certainly entitled to your own opinion. However, you are not entitled to your own facts.
Yeah.
Speaking of
not entitled to your own facts. Oh, go ahead, Carol. I'll segue you're done.
Where there's like cooperation to me is a positive. I'm just completely thrilled by what you're saying and the fact that they were able to sit around without going to blows at one another and sit down and have a conversation about it, a calm, collected conversation. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall on that one.
One of the pro-life activists actually said to me on the second day, I would love for you to take care of my wife. And he later introduced me to his wife, who, I mean, she was somebody who, when they got married, they went to an abortion clinic on their bus after they left the church, before they went to the reception, to spread what they thought was joy in a place that needed more joy. Now, I don't agree with that. That made me uncomfortable. But in her mind, that was
fine.
The right thing to do. Yeah. But to be able to, you know, get to that point. And a couple of the pro-life activists said to me afterwards, you do not look like what I thought an abortion provider looks like. I always pictured a butcher, you know, an ugly, horrible, dark human being. And I'm like, I'm in this to take care of people. And abortion is a complicated topic that is deeply integrated within women's health care. And that's what I wanted them to know. And I think I was able to get that across.
Which is wonderful. But again, this disturbs me because of this misinformation and of these misunderstandings and people who do not look at the nuances of every pregnancy being different
and being needed to be
handled differently. This is not a black and white issue. There is tons of gray in here, tons.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they are promoting total bans with no exceptions or exceptions for the life of the mother and then not specify how close to dead she has to be before she can get that care is very concerning to me.
Yeah. And like what we saw in Texas this week with Kate Cox.
Yes.
You know, I mean, here she had this desired pregnancy that was just genetically flawed. This baby was not going to survive. So she's heartbroken anyway. And then to have the court say, yeah, sorry. Hey, they're literally putting her life at risk,
not just
her health, not just her well-being and her sanity, but her life. That's where we're at in this country. More conversations.
More conversations.
Yeah.
Anything else that really cut through with some of the folks that were on this panel?
There were so many topics. We talked a lot about racism. We talked about domestic abuse and violence, how all of this really, it comes together with all of these societal things that are happening. You know, people can't afford healthcare. They can't afford food. They can't get access to good, solid education and the job opportunities that they need. And all of this comes together to create this fabric that is either a strong foundation for people or not so much. And these are ways that we can create policies that inform the way that we live and that help each other out and help us lift each other instead of oppressing each other and creating pockets of people who are doing really well and a lot of people who are just struggling to get by.
And did you talk at all, Dr. Kristen, about the maternal healthcare deserts and just the healthcare deserts we have across Wisconsin and what this means, particularly for women?
Yeah, we did a little bit. We really focused on reproductive health, but you know, we know that most of the doctors who are delivering care, especially in rural areas, they are fearful. They don't have resources. They are not well supported when it comes to women's health care. It's hard to talk about, sometimes even hard to bring up. So if they don't feel supported, and they are the people who are delivering obstetrical care as well as diabetes care and pediatric care, like they're caring for entire communities, if they don't feel comfortable and supported there, they're not going to work there. And that's part of the reason that we're seeing such a dire physician shortage, not just OBGYN doctors, but family medicine doctors, emergency medicine doctors, and other people who are truly committed to taking care of people in a holistic way.
Okay, so where do some of these people that live in these rural areas where there is a doctor depletion, if you will, where can they go to get information?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they're struggling to get any sort of access. They're having to drive, or they're just plain going
without.
Got it.
So,
okay.
You know, they're going without, but we can absolutely, let me check into, I'm glad you asked for resources because I love resources and I am not familiar. We've got DHS here in Wisconsin, but I'm sure we can get a little bit more granular about how people in rural areas can get access. So let's talk about that. Are we on next week?
We are on next week.
Let's do it next week. Let's talk about rural areas and how people can get access to care.
Absolutely will. Dr. Kristen Lierley, thank you so very, very much. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next Thursday.
Thanks, Doc. When we return,
J.R. Radcliffe, we're here to talk sports. And I think that tall Bucks player, Mr. Antetokounmpo, his name might come up. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Dan Schaefer, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us, 844-967-2789. Thank you for listening on the Eagle in La Crosse on WLCX. And shout out to people in Wisconsin Rapids this morning on WFHR. You can also comment on the live stream if you would like. You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Going to switch gears a little bit and talk, according to Wirecutter, the 24 gifts that will last forever or extremely close. And I'd also like to know, what was the best Christmas gift you ever got? One that really sticks out.
Oh, boy.
Over the years. Nothing.
Well,
I know, it was kind of a last minute ask.
Yeah, but, right? Like,
there's not one thing that jumps that you remember.
Okay. I'm sorry, but let's go with the phrasing of the statement. You said the greatest. Now you said one thing. What do you want from me, lady? What do you want? You want the greatest, or you want the year that I got Hot Torpedo? Hot Torpedo was a great game as a kid. You put a little disc in a thing and shot disc on the other side. It was amazing. I got it. I was so excited. So excited.
Okay, I'll one that does stand out to me, and this will just sound like millennial nostalgia, I think, much as anything.
No judgment.
A Nintendo 64 when I was a kid. Yeah. Getting the Nintendo 64, the new Nintendo 64, and going downstairs and playing Mario Kart on it. That was my jam back in the day.
I believe it.
Calvin is
you?
Ready and waiting.
So I have a couple, and they're all pretty different. The most recent one that stood out to me is going to sound kind of weird, but a cast iron skillet.
Oh, that's great.
It was a good present. I really liked that. It was a surprise. It was a Christmas where I didn't really ask for anything, so my parents were kind of scrambling, and my dad just happened to hear me say it one time and guessed it right that I wanted one.
So what have you done with your cast iron skillet?
All sorts of things. Mostly cheeseburgers and grilled cheese, but nice. Lots of other stuff too.
Did you properly season it?
Oh yeah, it's My mom's been using it, and she doesn't take care of it the best, so I kind of need to give it another go with the seasoning.
Well, you just forced a conversation now by saying it on radio.
She knows. I talked to her about it on Sunday.
Respect the cast iron skillet. The seasoning of the cast iron skillet, very important. It's like a wok. Right? You never wash your wok.
You never want to wash it.
You never wash it.
Can't put it in the dishwasher.
No. Oh, gosh.
There are memes about this.
There are.
There are memes about putting the cast iron in the dishwasher and ruining
it. I don't even make people scream.
Yeah.
You're also supposed to not like the pizza stone either. You can rinse it off and like wipe it, but you're never supposed to like wash it with soap and put it in the dishwasher.
You know,
yeah.
I never put this cast iron in the dishwasher. I would never go that far. But the idea that you can't use soap on it is actually a misconception.
Are we talking cast iron or like a pizza stone?
Pizza stone, I have no idea. A stone, I think you don't want to use soap because it will absorb.
Yeah.
But a cast iron, you can use soap on as long as you put a little oil on it.
Yeah, you want to wash it. Yeah, you still want to wash it. It has to be clean, but can't put it in the dishwasher.
For all your cast iron questions, Calvin is available at 844-967-2789. He is the wizard of cast iron skillets. All right, this wire cutter article on the 24 gifts that will last forever extremely closely. The first one is coasters. Classy coasters.
Well, that depends on what they're made of.
Wool felt coasters absorb condensation, don't stick to damp glasses. They come in a pleasing array of colors in sets of four and or six. $40 for coasters.
That's a lot for coasters.
That seems really pricey to me.
But if they're going to last forever?
Well, that's according to Wirecutter.
Well, and these things that could... I'm looking through this list of things that could last forever and having knowledge of my almost three-year-old daughter, who is an expert at breaking things typically, you know, maybe thought of as lasting forever. Could they make it past my two-year-old daughter? That should be the real test of this Wirecutter article. Give it to me and see if they last a month.
Give it to my kid.
Yeah.
Your love for me has to last forever, Father, but these coasters don't. Wah-bam!
Well, I would think, too, if you're going to give somebody a thing of coasters, then I want them to know how much they cost. If I'm shelling out for $40, because otherwise they're going to look at you like, you got me a box of four coasters for Christmas?
Like if you get your Secret Santas, like the budget is $40 and somebody comes with coasters and you'd be like, are you sure?
Are you sure you spent up to $40 on
these? Did you not look at my wish list on Elfster.com? I wouldn't come with them at the price. I wouldn't be that gauche. I would simply go, they're coasters made of, and then you say the materials and what they'll do, when really you're just describing a coaster.
That's one way to sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess I would want some... I would like them to recognize that these are highly special
call
coasters.
Them cruelty-free.
Cruelty-free coasters. That will work.
Yeah.
Also suggested the Vermont Bowl Company Colonial Hardwood Bowl.
This just sounds like advertisements.
$209.
What?
For an 8-inch bowl.
Get out of my house.
That's a pricey bowl. And they're wood, and it looks lovely, but don't most bowls last forever?
Well, depending on what they're made of.
I mean, I have bowls that I've had for 30 years.
Are they still good looking, or are they still like, are they?
Yeah.
Okay, then there you go.
I have bowls I inherited from my mother. Those are probably 60 years old.
We have some antique bowls that have been passed down, too. And they work fine.
They still function
as a bowl. They still hold food.
They do.
The coasters are the kind of thing you were saying you wanted to tell them how much they were. That's the kind of bowl that the person who gets it tells you how much it is, so they know. Because the only thing they have on it is that it was a $200 bowl. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it's still just a bowl, and it looks like every other bowl. But that person would be like, this is a $200 bowl because it's made of finely harvested koa.
See, this would never happen in the Midwest, because you're in the Midwest, you have to tell people the deal that you got particular gift for.
It was $200.
That you got it for a discount. I got it. It was $200. Yes. I got it on Black Friday for, $45 or something. Yeah.
High five me.
Yeah.
It's a victory.
Yeah.
Indestructible, well, should last forever. Christmas suggestions from Wirecutter magazine. It's a raincoat. The Helly Hansen Moss raincoat. For $120.
Nope.
Not into the raincoats?
I'm not $120. I'll buy an umbrella or just get wet.
But it's a flattering below the hip length with a pleasing rubberized polyurethane coat.
I want people to see me below the hips. It's flattering enough.
See, I used to live in Seattle, and this would be the type of coat that every single person in Seattle has.
Oh, I believe
but
it.
But here in Wisconsin, no. Maybe not so much.
That gets a little bit rare.
Need a little bit more, little more to it. It's got to be all weather, snow, rain, sleet, sideways rain, freezing rain, slush falling from the sky.
Rain.
You know.
Rain Wilson.
Not like the mist in Seattle.
I went to Seattle in December in 2017, and it was 49 degrees out. I was walking around in a hoodie and shorts. Everyone was in parkas.
Yeah. If it snows like an inch there, the city shuts down.
Awesome.
Yeah. Tony checking in on the stream. My dad made me a functional mini brass cannon. It didn't have a fuse that you lit, but a cap that you hit with a hammer. A complete surprise and utterly amazing.
Oh, wow. You really upped the ante there, Tony.
That could go wrong in so many different ways.
Do you have all your thumbs and fingers?
Is there a background check you have to pass before you use the cannon?
Not in my America.
Yeah, a functional mini brass cannon. That is really funny.
Yeah.
Going back to this list of the Christmas gifts that should last forever, Fibramint D Home Oven Baking Stone for $137.
You just made all those words up.
I did not. Fibramint D Home Oven Baking Stone.
So it's a piece of stone that you put in an oven.
Pretty much.
This is no longer the list of stuff that will last forever. It's incredulous Midwesterners judge a Christmas list from a website. Because everything is like, I got a stone at home. I got a stone in my backyard. I'll put it in the oven. I am paying $100 for it.
There's the Charlie Barron's bit here, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like the whole idea of Midwesterners denigrate other people's Christmas gifts.
Absolutely.
Because we can find it on sale.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Or
people?
My backyard.
844-967-2789 if you want to share the greatest Christmas gift you ever received. Popcorn maker. I thought we were done with popcorn makers. The copper-plated stainless steel Whirly Pop popcorn popper, $65 from Amazon. Don't we just make popcorn in a pan?
Or in the microwave.
Right? We need a special magical popcorn popper.
We all have that friend who can't just say no to
the gadget?
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, we had this conversation. What was the gadget you wanted?
The Wonder Oven.
The Wonder Oven. And how much was that?
It was $200.
And did you buy it?
I didn't.
Good. You're welcome.
And I looked at it, and I think what really changed my mind was we had a chef from Madison who called in.
Yeah.
And he said, Jane, you're just duplicating functions that your oven and your broiler already do.
I said that before the chef said that.
The chef carried a little more weight. I'm sorry.
And now, you call me thin? Thank you. All right.
I understand the draw. Understand the draw to these small appliances. And I really, really wanted a Wonder Oven. But as I looked at it more and I measured it, and it was much bigger than I thought and takes up a whole lot more space, I'd have to move the air fryer I never use in order to fit in the Wonder Oven that I also likely would not use.
I just used my air fryer today. Or not today, yesterday. Sorry, there's someone walking up to the window, and I got distracted.
Oh, with flowers. 844-967-2789. PD is on the line from Florida. Good morning, PD. Thank you for joining the show. What do you want to say?
Hey. Yeah, I had several special gifts from the time I was pretty much like 4 years old on through grade school. My parents would give me a box of junk, and I have home movies of them giving me like a Tonka steam shovel or whatever, and I'd play with it for like a minute, and then I would go to the box of junk, which was great because it taught me how to put things together and use my imagination, use my hands and all that. So that was my favorite thing I looked forward to for a number of years through my grade school. And then when I was about 12, the greatest thing that I got that changed my life, they gave me my first Sears Silvertone guitar, and it was a guitar that was in like a case that had a little amplifier, tube amplifier and speaker inside the case. It was built into the case. Very, very unusual setup. But they gave me my first Silvertone guitar, which appears in one of my videos. I became a professional singer-songwriter, one-man band because of it. Changed my entire life that 1 year.
That is really cool, PD. And I love the box of junk. I think for the right kid, that could be a great gift, right?
Oh, it was, because I turned into, because of that, I really became like a Mr. Fix-It. I mean, I've worked on, there's nothing I haven't done on a car. I mean, I'm not a professional mechanic, but I've rebuilt motors and engines, the transmission, clutch. I have nothing I haven't done in a car. I've remodeled houses. I've made all kinds of things, silver, jewelry, briar tobacco pipes. I mean, all kinds of things that I've done in my life that I owe all to going back to this putting together things out of junk.
Yep.
And it would be anything
awesome.
From buttons to magnets to a little rubber piece. My dad worked in a rubber factory for a while. Just all kinds of things they would gather up through the year. And I would make things, little sculptures or just things that my mom gave me a big button one year and some string. And I made this thing where you put the string through the button and you pull on it with your hands back and forth and it makes the button spin real fast.
Yes.
And just all kinds of really cool stuff, which, you know, kids today would never, I don't think, appreciate.
Well, just look at how that unlocked your imagination. That's really remarkable. We don't have a lot of time left, PD. How did you find us while you're listening in Florida?
I listened to Talk Left. It has a number of stations on it. So I listened to the one in Madison considerably, quite a bit. I love the station. I went to Madison the year that I went to college in Texas, actually, but went on a road trip and went to Madison to and heard Bob Seger play for the first time in some little joint that was his hometown bar before he was big in Madison, Wisconsin. I've never forgotten that.
That's really cool, PD. Thank you so very much for listening, and thank you so very much for sharing your story. 844-967-2789, the singular greatest Christmas gift or most memorable that you ever received. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, joined in studio by Dan Schaefer and Greg Bach. And Calvin is on the board. You can call in at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
Talking about best Christmas gifts. This is from a Wirecutter article on the 24 Christmas gifts that will last forever. And we're just taking your calls as well. What was your favorite Christmas gift that you've gotten over the years? This is a great one. Texture from the 414, my KitchenAid mixer. At first, I was disappointed about getting a kitchen appliance from my husband, but that thing is the best. And actually, that's on this list.
That thing is on wedding lists, anniversary lists.
I got one Christmas. That's what I asked for our wedding.
Yeah.
Every wedding registry, I think, is required by law to have one of those on there.
But it really is the most useful thing.
It's very versatile. Yeah. And
They're not cheap. They're like $350, $400.
Yeah.
But that's something that is going to last you a really, really, really long time.
I'm still trying to think of a present I got in the past few years that like really made me go, oh my God. I don't know. I like getting presents, but I never ask for the big present. I think like it's, you know, when you're younger,
taking you to Greece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like when you're younger, you get the big present or the present from Santa. Now if like a lot of the things I ask for, they're very functional. So if I get them, I'm excited. You know, last year, Bridget asked my brother-in-law and my sister for the stuff we need to change our own oil and a lesson on how to change our own oil. And that's what my brother did. He came over with he bought us all this stuff. He came over and he showed us, and now we can change our own oil, which
that saves you quite a bit of money.
Saves us so much money.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. 844-967-2789, your favorite Christmas gift. And I think, too, for a lot of us, it's something that sticks out from childhood.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. It's just like, okay, what's the childhood one? What's the one that I remember? That
sent me over the moon.
Yeah.
Texter from the 414. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. A text from the 262 says, my air fryer. It makes all kinds of stuff. I love the wings the best. I was really excited when we got ours, and I used it all the time, and now I bet I haven't used it in 6 months, which is another reason why I talked myself out of the Wonder Oven.
I noticed that when you say the Wonder Oven, you always say, like, the Wonder Oven.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. That's,
like the one that got away.
Yeah. No, right.
Great thing, too, about, like, my family, we exchange lists. And so, like, my wife's birthday is in April. So what I do is I look at the list she gives out, and anything that's on her Christmas list that wasn't given to her, I'll usually buy a couple things off of there.
Because that's smart.
She still needs stuff that'll make her excited. And she's very much, she can be very much entrenched in gift cards. She loves gift cards because then she controls what she gets. But as we all know, it is, you want to be able to, you want to be tangible. Be like, here's a thing. Here's a shirt. Here's a whatever. But
here's a Wonder Oven.
Okay, just buy the stupid thing. All right. My God. I'm on board now. If he'll get you to shut up about the Wonder Oven, buy it. I do want to say shout out to Pat Kreitlow. Thank you for the flowers.
Yes, it's Greg's birthday, and Pat sent him a bouquet. It's really, really beautiful. And a texter from the listening on WAUK from the 608. Happy birthday, Greg. I hope all your birthday wishes come true.
They already are. I'm surrounded by friends.
Rico from Rock County said, great call from PD, who called from Florida and talked about how he made a pipe. And Rico just wants to know if it was really a tobacco pipe, PD. Or is there something you're not telling us?
Well, in Florida, no.
Texter from the 920 listening on WMDX in Madison. I got a bonsai tree. That's cool.
I got a bonsai Lego set.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Also from the 920, tools in a book. And from the 414 listening on WAUK, divorce papers.
Oh, you got served on. Oh,
that changed the tone just slightly.
We did get
just a little bit. I, you know, opposite of that, I suppose I should say that the best gift I've ever given and a Christmas and during Christmas was I proposed to my wife right before Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So
you did
the engagement ring there. So that's probably the most
nice,
most memorable Christmas of my life.
Oh, yeah,
was that engagement there?
We got a live stream comment from Tim McCullough. Hello, happy birthday to my fave Lord Ring to the character Greg Bach. I think he's talking about what I look like, because I look like I could storm a mountain. But also, I guess, you know what? Probably the greatest Christmas present I ever got was the fact that I'm born on December the 12th. Then came Christmas. I was given life. Ha ha! Beat that, everyone in the room.
Okay, then I'm not going to bring up my Snoopy soap dish, which changed my life when I was six.
Really?
I loved that thing so much. We used to get, you guys don't remember Avon. Avon calling.
My mother was an Avon lady.
She was
lady.
An Avon lady. And they would actually come to your house and they would bring the catalog and you could look through the catalog. And I wanted that Snoopy soap dish with every fiber of my being. And I got it.
You know what I love is that you think I'm so much younger than you because you always do that. You won't remember this. And then you'll say something like, you know, I don't know, MASH. I'm like, of course I remember MASH. Remember the Snoopy, the Snoopy snow cone maker? It was like his house, and you put ice in the top of the house.
And it would come out the front?
It would come out the front as like a snow cone. I remember that one. I never got that one.
I never got a Light Bright.
Really?
On my 40th birthday, I got a Light Bright because I had been whining about it for so long.
Like a Wonder Oven?
When I'm 80, ask for the Wonder Oven.
We're all going to get you a Wonder Oven.
This is turning into the gifts that got away.
The gifts that got away. Not the best.
Is there a gift that got away for you, Dan?
Not that I can think of.
No. Okay.
Also on this list of gifts that will last forever, a Peugeot Paris Ouselect Peppermill for $44. If you have one peppermill, doesn't that last you a lifetime? Don't most peppermills last forever?
I'm not going to lie. I hate this list. I hate this list so much.
It's just not a list that Midwesterners can appreciate.
No.
Because it's a lot of overpriced doodads.
Ours would be like a sturdy shovel. Where can you get it? Probably your dad's house. A good coat, Burlington Coat Factory. Come on, don't pay full price.
The one thing on here on the wire cutter is a good knife, and I will sing the praises of good knives.
Mm-hmm.
It's critically important. All right. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Allbaugh Show from noon until 2 p.m. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Thank you, Dan Schaefer, for coming all the way out and joining us in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Greg Bach. Calvin, as always, thank you for producing this program. And thank you to all of you for listening. Without you, we got nothing. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.